the five judgments of Lucifer. The third judgment of Lucifer was the fact that his position as the one who governed the earth was given to another person. And that person was Adam, man. The dominion God gave Adam, it included the authority to forbid and to allow. God did not destroy Satan after the rebellion. You know, God allowed the rebellion. He said, I'm going to allow this rebellion to run its full course, to get to its end, so that at the end of the day, I can prove that without me, you can do nothing. We give you all the praise for this opportunity you've given us to come and listen to your word. Even as your word is coming, we pray that you grant us the grace to receive and understand. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We thank God for this morning. And you are all welcome to church today. Amen. Today is 26th August 2018. And I want to thank God for what he did, you know, in the course of the week when we went out there to Asamankese for the missions. Amen. God was so good to us. And I believe this is one of the best mission trips we've ever had since 2011. Amen. Yeah, we thank God. I want to continue what I started last 2 weeks. You know, like I said, this topic is not a pleasant topic for me. You know, I'd rather talk about God, about the Holy Spirit, about the church, you know, about ministry than talk about the devil. You know, so, but the Lord wants us to know, you know, wants us to know who he is and who our enemy is and how insignificant he has become, so that you don't have to fear as a believer. So we were looking at spiritual warfare. We started by looking at the dynamics of spiritual warfare. Then last week we looked at unmasking the enemy. Okay, so today, we are looking at the five judgments of Lucifer. The five judgments of Lucifer. See, it is very important that we understand the one that we are dealing with. We have to know his status. We have to know his current status. And that will inform us and that will help us to know how to deal with him. Now, by way of recap, last week we saw that he was an angel, a cherub, you know, from Ezekiel 28. And we saw that he was an exceptional angel that was placed in charge of God's creation. Then we also saw that in Isaiah 14, verse 12, that he was a king. He had a throne. He said, I will exalt my throne above the stars, above the other angels, you know. And in Isaiah 14, verse 12 to 15, he made five I will declarations. Five I wills. The first one was, I will ascend. I will ascend to heaven. Then I will exalt my throne above the stars of heaven, you know. Then he said, I will also ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the sides of the north. Then I will be like the Most High. Five I will declarations Lucifer made, you know. That was before man was created. And we saw from last week that the angels were created before man was created, actually before this earth was created. Because the Bible said that when the earth was created, the angels, they sang for joy. Bible calls them the morning stars, the sons of God, and the morning stars. So they sang for joy. They were happy. Then we realized that Lucifer's five I will declarations stood in contrast with the will of God, that the will of God was supposed to be done, you know, in all of God's creation. The will of God in heaven, only one will rules heaven. That is God's will. There's no other will apart from God's will in heaven. And God's plan was for his will to be done on earth as it was in heaven. That was God's agenda. That was why God created the earth. He created the earth to be a reflection of heaven so that the earth will be an extension of heaven. So the will of God will be done in heaven and also on earth. So when Lucifer said, I will, he established a certain path, a certain way of life, you know, a certain path, or if you like, another will. So we have God's will and then I will. I preached a message on that. His will versus I will. You can get it and listen to it. You know, then we saw that the first judgment of Lucifer was he being cast down. When he was cast down, when he attempted to ascend to heaven, according to Jesus in Luke 10, 18, the rebellion didn't last for even 1 minute. He said, I saw Satan cast down from heaven like lightning. So the way lightning comes, you know, it's like so fast. That's how long the rebellion lasted. So he was just cast down. And I also explained to you that the fight did not take place in heaven. In God's heaven, there's no war. In God's heaven, where God lives, there's no war. There can be no war. Hallelujah. Yes. And so we realize that when the Bible talks about heaven, you know, that there was war in heaven. It wasn't heaven that God lives. We saw that we have the third heavens, according to 2 Corinthians 12, where Paul said, I was caught up into the third heavens, the paradise of God. That's where God lives, third heavens. Then if we have a third heavens, we have the first heavens and the second heavens. So Lucifer was actually, the fight actually took place in the second heavens, you know, where if he fought. And then it was the angels who drove him out of that place. God never moved. God, Lucifer is not God's co-equal. You understand? So, yeah, God didn't have to descend to his level to fight him. So it was the angels who quickly, you know, just cast him out, and he was cast down. Then we saw his second judgment was the fact that his territory was judged. And his territory was the earth, and it was judged. And that resulted into the condition that is described in Genesis 1:2. When in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Then the next verse says that, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. That condition was created as a result of God's judgment on Lucifer's territory. And because I've already talked about that into details, I can't go into details here, but suffice it to say that his territory was judged, you know, and God judged his territory with water, as we saw last week. That's why in Revelation 21, verse 1 and 2, Bible said that in the new heaven and new earth, there will be no sea. Okay, now, then his third judgment. So today I'm talking about the five judgments. So, but I've already talked about the first two, three judgments. Okay, so I'm just taking you back for you to get the first two, three. Then I will continue with the fourth and the fifth. The third judgment of Lucifer was the fact that his position as the one who governed the earth was given to another person. And that person was Adam, man. When God created man in Genesis 1:26, when God said, let us make man in our own image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. When God said this, by this statement, Lucifer had been shut out of the physical earth. It was judgment to him. So God appointed another manager, another steward, who was now created in the image of God and the likeness of God. So it was judgment to Lucifer that now I'm going to put somebody over the earth, somebody over this territory, you know. And God gave man dominion. And I've already explained that dominion means image, authority, and power. Dominion, means image, authority, and power. You can get it in some of the messages I've preached, you know, I've explained that. So the dominion God gave Adam, it included the authority to forbid and to allow. To forbid and to allow. Because God said, subdue. He said, be fruitful and multiply, you know, replenish, have dominion, subdue. Subdue. And that subdue means to hold in check. So God said, Adam, you have authority to for either forbid or to permit anything on this earth or anybody on this earth. He could also delegate anyone to act on his behalf. You know, he could delegate anyone to act on his behalf. He had a right to set the standard on the earth. And he had an assignment to fill the whole earth with the kingdom, power, and glory of God, which was only in Eden at that time, in the garden. That was God's plan, that Adam had an assignment of over making sure that the power and the glory of God will permeate and will pervade all aspects of the earth. So when Lucifer was cast down and God reformed the earth and put man in charge, he was still around. He was still around. God did not destroy Satan after the rebellion. You know, God allowed the rebellion. He said, I'm going to allow this rebellion to run its full course, to get to its end, so that at the end of the day, I can prove that without me, you can do nothing. Because there was a challenge. You know, God could have just snuffed out Lucifer within seconds. He could have chosen to annihilate him, destroy him, I mean, make him non-existent. Because God created him. So why did God allow the rebellion? He wanted it to run its full course so that at the end of the day, he can prove to all creation that without the creator, you, the creation, you can do nothing. That's the principle that sustains all creation. Without me, you can do nothing. That's what mankind has tried to disprove to his detriment. We have tried to disprove that principle that without him, we can do something. It has landed us in a lot of chaos, a lot of confusion, a lot of troubles, even to the present day. So now, so that means that before Adam came on the scene, you see, there were two wills, God's will and then I will. I will is the path of independence from God. It's a path of pride, the path of self-will, self-government. That was what Satan declared. I will, you know, not his will be done, but I will, five times. So he had five judgments. So when Adam came on the scene, God made it clear to Adam that, look, there are two ways before you. There are two wills before you, in a, represented by the two trees. He said, now this way, this one is God's will, the tree of life. This one is I will, the tree of knowledge. It's like, if you eat of this tree, you will surely die. So he told Adam. He didn't hide it from Adam. So when Adam came on the scene, there were two wills in front of him, two paths that he could choose. Either the path of dependence on God or the path of independence from God. And God told Adam, he gave him the consequence. And Lucifer too was aware. So what he came to do was to trick man to choose self-government or to choose independence so that man will toe his line, so that man too can go the way of I will. And he succeeded. But he came in the body of a serpent, because by what God said in Genesis 1:26, he had been shut out. God said, man should have dominion. So if you are not man, in other words, in this physical world, if you don't have a body, you can't be effective. So there was no way he could just have entered God's world, the physical world. So he had to borrow the body of a serpent. And he went and borrowed the body of the serpent. And the Bible said that he used the serpent, used his faculties to communicate with man. The serpent was the most subtle animal God had created. Genesis 3:1, he said, the serpent was the most subtle animal above all the cattle, all the beasts of the field, which God had made. You know, so we can see that he was like a beast, not a rope, not like the rope that he is now. He was a four-footed animal, something like that. So, but he was very clever, very, you know, sharp. And the devil borrowed his faculties and then approached the woman. When he approached the woman, he suggested self-government. He said, "You shall be as God. If you eat this fruit, you shall be as God, knowing good and evil." In other words, you are going to have no control, be under no government. You are not going to have any laws. You will not be accountable to anybody. You will be as God. You will be a boss of your own. You see, that has always been his stock in trade, Lucifer. Whenever he comes to you with that suggestion, how you can be a boss of your own, how you can be in charge of your own life, how you don't have to take orders or instructions, you know, independence. That's what he does always. At the root of every rebellion is Lucifer's I will. Every rebellion, including coup d'etats, I will is underneath, you know. So when he sold that package to the first couple, Eve bought into it, because it's good to have your eyes open for you to be as God, knowing good and evil, so that you are going to be a judge of your own. You don't have to subject yourself to any benchmark, any rule or regulation. You will be a rule or a law unto your own self. You say, "Oh, that surely is good." So your eyes will open. How many of you want your eyes to be open? How many of you want to be wise? You want to be very wise, you know. I mean, wisdom is something we all pray for. That your eyes will be open. You'll be wise. You'll be as God, knowing good and evil. So it seemed good to Adam and Eve. Now, when Adam and Eve ate the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they also agreed to go the way of I will, as against God's will. That was how Lucifer was able to come back into the earth that God had created. He had been shut out, but he was able to come back because he convinced the one who had the authority to toe the line of I will. And so Adam and Eve also toe the line of I will. As soon as they ate that fruit, what happened was that there was a change in the chain of authority. You see, before God created man, the chain of authority was like this. It was God, then Lucifer under God, then the creation. So Lucifer and then angels, then creation. When God created man, on earth, the chain of authority was God, then Adam or man, and then creation. That was what God did. Now, when Adam and Eve told the way of I will, there was a change. The change in the chain of authority was this. Now it was God, still God, but instead of man was Lucifer, then man before the creation. So Lucifer had managed to become a boss, even over the earth, the creation that God put in place, by subtly convincing Adam and Eve to toe the line of I will. That was what happened. Then he became the ruler of the darkness of this world. He became the God of this present age. And then he became a strong man. That was how he managed to come back, you know, became a strong man. Now, then he and man, fallen man, set up a spiritual kingdom to govern, control this earth. You see, the earth is physical, but we have the world, which is a spiritual kingdom, controlling the earth and people on the earth. Now, that world was instituted by Lucifer and then man. Now, he had become their boss. So all his ideas and all that is in him, together with fallen man, mankind, they both produce the world. They came up with systems, ideas, philosophies that will war against the agenda of God on this earth. That's how come the world was created, and he became the God of this world, the God of this world. He became the ruler of the darkness of this world. That was Satan. So, now, notice that the time God had purpose for Adam to reign on this earth, if it was 7,000 years, as an example, if it was 7,000 years, till the 7,000 years expires, that's how serious it was, till the 7,000 years expires, he will be in charge. Because the lease God gave man, according to the lease God gave man, man must exercise dominion. Okay, so it's like renting an apartment for 2 years and then traveling and then asking your friend to come and stay in the apartment. Your friend has the right to stay there for the two-year period because you have rented it for 2 years. And the landlord cannot say that I'm going to reject you because you are not the one who rented it. No. Once the one who rented it has given you the authority to stay there in his absence, till the two-year period expires, he's there. That's why the devil is still here. Even after Jesus Christ came and died, the Bible still called him the God of this world. 2 Corinthians 4:4. The Bible still called him the God of this world. The Bible still called him the ruler of the darkness of this age. Because the lease has not expired. But God has done something about it. The lease has not expired. There's a time when the lease will expire. When the lease expires, then God will come and set up his kingdom on this earth. For a period of 1,000 years, he will set up his literal kingdom. When the lease he gave man expires. By that time, it means that naturally, Lucifer's reign will come to an end. But even before that, by the work of Jesus that he did, his status has changed. So in the Old Testament, his status was the ruler of the world. Not the owner, the ruler. Like Adam was supposed to be the ruler. In the Old Testament, he was the ruler of the world. Mankind was under him. In the Old Testament, he had the keys of death and Hades. He took it. That's why all those who were righteous people in the Old Testament, when they died, they were held down there in paradise. They couldn't go straight to heaven. All those who were righteous, David, Abraham, there was a place under the earth called paradise, you know, Abraham's bosom, where they were kept. They couldn't go straight to heaven when they died because he had the key. And he also had the power of death. According to Hebrews 2:14-15, he said that he had the power of death. Had the power of death. That was his weapon. Power of death. You see. So that was in the Old Testament. And in that era, he occupied the second heavens. You know, when he was cast down, he occupied the heavens. That was where his kingdom was. You see, that's why in Daniel, the angel of God was withstood by the angel of Lucifer for 21 days. Now, you don't see that in the New Testament after Jesus Christ died. But you see that before Jesus died. And he was occupying that place, you know, and he could even withstand an angel of God for 21 days till Michael came and overpowered him. And released the angel of God to bring the answer to Daniel's prayer to him. Because he was the one who was occupying that space, you know, in the heavens, the second heavens, was occupying that space. And previously, he was occupying that. I don't want to go there, you know, I don't want to go into that. But you see, that was the era that he could even appear before God. You see, you don't see that in the New Testament. You see that only in the Old Testament, Job. You see that in Job chapter 1 verse 6, that there was a time when the sons of God appeared before God and Satan also came. Now, he didn't appear before God in heaven where God lives. Heaven has forever been shut, you know, on him. So it wasn't like he went to heaven before God. He can't go to heaven. But he was occupying the heavens, the second heavens. So he appeared before God. And Satan also came among them. Twice in the Bible. And Job 2:1. Satan also came among them. The sons of God appeared before God. And Satan also came to present himself before the Lord. He also came to present himself. That was in the Old Testament. After Jesus Christ died and rose from the dead, you don't see anywhere that Satan appeared before the Lord. You don't see anywhere. Because at that time, he was occupying the heavens, the second heavens. You see, so even the Bible says that the second heavens had to be purified by the blood of Jesus. Hebrews 9:23. You see, I don't want to go into details on that. But you see, in Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 18, that we read at that time, realize that he defiled his sanctuaries. And that was the place where the heavenly tabernacle was. See, the tabernacle that Moses built was built as a replica of the one in heaven. And God's heaven cannot be defiled. So Hebrews 9:23 says that Moses' tabernacle had to be purified with blood of animals, but the heavenly tabernacle had to be purified with the blood of Jesus. Now, God's heaven cannot be defiled. So this one was the tabernacle that Lucifer was occupying, that he defiled the sanctuaries. And so Jesus Christ took his blood and then had to purify that place and eject him from that place. It was from that place that he was accusing the people of God. You don't find anywhere in the New Testament, you know, after Jesus Christ died, where Satan is called the accuser. The only reference is in Revelation 12, when it says he was cast down. That one was a prophetic picture. They were telling us what happened when Jesus Christ died. That he was the accuser of the brethren, was cast down. After Jesus Christ died, the devil is no longer the accuser. He can't accuse anybody before God because he has lost that place. Now, the tabernacle has been purified, and now we have a high priest who is the Lord Jesus working in that tabernacle, and now he is interceding. He's interceding for the saints. The same place that the devil was standing accusing the saints, he's now there interceding for the saints. So in the New Testament, you don't see anywhere where the Bible says that and the Satan is accusing the believer before God. He can't accuse anybody before God. He can't. He can't. Also, you see that in the Old Testament, you could go before God and demand that Job be given to him. Give me Job. Let me put him on trial. See, even in the time of Jesus, when he had not died, he could also demand for Peter. In Luke 22:31, he said, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you like wheat. That was before Jesus Christ died. But after Jesus Christ died, you find nowhere in scripture where the devil goes to God to demand that a believer is sifted like wheat. Okay. So, the Old Testament era was under angelic authority. You see, because Lucifer had taken the authority that God gave man. And so, that whole era was under angels. That's why even the law, the mediators of the law were angels. The law was given to the people of Israel through the hands of angels. I'm just trying to build a point. Galatians 3:19-20, you know, it says, what purpose then does the law serve? It was added because of transgressions till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was appointed through angels by the hand of the mediator. Now come to Acts 7:38. This is he who was in the congregation in the wilderness with the angel who spoke to him on the Mount Sinai, and with our fathers, the one who received the living oracles to give to us. Talking about Moses. It was the angel who spoke to Moses on Mount Sinai. It was the angel. The Old Testament was put to effect through the hands of angels. Because that was the era of the Old Testament where Lucifer was the one who was reigning. So it was the angelic realm of authority. But he was using man's legitimate place Because Adam had chosen to vacate his place of authority for the devil. So he had the right to exercise authority because Adam forfeited his right, you know, by towing the line of I will. And because he is the originator of I will, when you tow I will, you count directly under his control. That is why, you see, even in the New Testament, you see, one of the ways that the devil gets believers is for us to become self-directed, disobedient to God. He said, he will punish all disobedience when your obedience is complete. Hello? So, now let's look at how his fourth judgment took place. God decided to come back. But God wanted a legitimate comeback, not a shortcut. Because the thing was that it was man that had given position to Lucifer. So he had to take a man to take back that position. To be fair, he had to take a man. But this man had to be somebody who was 100% man, but at the same time did not have the seed of sin that was in Adam. Because all humanity was under the devil. Hello? So you can't bring any human being to come and take back the authority Adam gave to Satan. Because all mankind had sinned. So it would take somebody who was man, because it is man that was given the authority. Number two, this person who is a man should be somebody without sin. And there was nobody on this earth who could qualify, who could fulfill that criteria. Because all flesh had corrupted their ways. Because we were all in Adam when Adam sinned. Therefore, God said, I will get a man, somebody who is a man. When you look at him, you see that he's 100% man, born of a woman. And yet, without the sin of man. God is a wise God. That's why the virgin birth of Jesus came to pass. The reason for the virgin birth was to produce a man who had not been corrupted by the sin of Adam. So that man, standing as man, on behalf of all mankind, can meet the devil and take back the authority that Adam had given to the devil. Otherwise, it will not be legitimate because the devil took the thing from Adam. He took it. In fact, he didn't steal it. He took it. Adam just gave it to him because he managed to get him to tow his line and forfeited his place. Then he took his place. But God is a just God. You can never raise any accusation against God because he's a just God. That's why he had to make sure sin was punished. He had to make sure sin was punished. Even when Adam sinned, God said, I have to, because I'm a just God, so I have to punish sin. So he took an animal, then he placed the punishment of Adam on the animal, killed the animal, and used the coat to cover Adam. God said, I'm a just God, no sin will go unpunished. Hello? So, Jesus Christ came, you know, 100% man, but did not have the seed of Satan in him. There was no sin. That's why if you deny the virgin birth, you are not born again. That's why the virgin birth of Jesus is something that Satan will fight and will fight against, because that is the only way that God could have overcome the devil legitimately, by producing a man. So that Satan will see that this is a man coming back to take what I took from man. At the same time, this man can prevail over me because he doesn't have the sin of Adam. So he is not under my authority. And it's like this. It's like there's a picture in the Old Testament that parallels this. You know, it's a prophetic parallel of how Jesus Christ came as a man without a sin of man. And that picture is in Numbers 21:8-9. When the people sin against God, And God released fiery serpents to bite them. Then they were dying. Then God told Moses, he said, the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole. And it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live. Now, the serpent Moses made was not a real serpent. It was a bronze serpent. In other words, he used bronze. Are you getting me? Okay. But it had the similitude or the figure of a serpent. So he made a bronze serpent and hung it on the tree. Hung the bronze serpent on a pole. Hello? Now, anybody who looked at the bronze serpent lived. The bronze serpent had the appearance of a serpent, but they didn't have the poison of a serpent. Are you getting me? So Jesus Christ said in John 3:14, he said, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man will be lifted up. He was just drawing a parallel between himself and then what happened in the wilderness. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must, so he was lifted up and you could see him as man, 100% man, but he didn't contain the poison of the serpent. He didn't contain the seed of the devil. That's why he came as man. He could stand in our place as man, perfect man, without any sin, to redeem man from the authority of the devil and to take back what man lost to Satan through disobedience. So in Romans 8:3, Bible says that Jesus Christ came in the likeness of sinful flesh. See, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. I've not finished reading. In the likeness of sinful flesh, on account of sin, he condemns in the flesh. In the likeness of sinful flesh, not in sinful flesh, in the likeness of it. So when the devil saw Jesus, he saw him as man. Saw him as man. But he didn't find anything of his in him. Jesus Christ, he said, the prince of darkness comes, but he will find nothing in me. So Satan saw him as man. That's why when Satan wanted to shift Jesus from the position of man to God, Son of God, he said, if you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone. In other words, I am man. I want you to know that I am man. I want you to know that what God has done is legitimate. God did not take shortcut. He went through the channel to get a man, somebody who is a man, legitimately, to wrestle the authority back from the devil. So let's look at the fourth judgment. The fourth judgment of Lucifer happened on the cross. That was his fourth judgment. See, that was his fourth judgment. When Jesus Christ came and walked on this earth, he walked on this earth as man without sin. He fulfilled all righteous requirements of the law because he was in the era where the law was governing. The angels were still in charge. That's why the Bible says for a time he was made lower than the angels. Because he was placed under the law, which was put to effect by angels for a time to fulfill the law and to lay it aside. Then it was time for him to go to the cross. Now, when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, that was a very crucial moment because the first Adam chose I will. In the Garden of Eden, he chose I will over God's will. And the devil was still there trying to force the last Adam to also choose I will. So Jesus Christ, when he was going through agony, he said, Father, If it is possible, let this cup pass over me. He prayed that prayer twice. Then the third time he said, Father, if this cup cannot pass over me, except I drink it, your will be done. Not my will, but your will be done. When he said that, he crushed the devil. In fact, that was when the devil's judgment was effected. The fourth judgment was when Jesus Christ chose God's will over I will. Hello? And remember that both first Adam and last Adam, they chose, made their decisions in the garden. So Garden of Eden, Garden of Gethsemane. First Adam failed. He said, I will. Last Adam said, your will. That was when Jesus crushed the devil. So in John 12:30, before he went to the cross, he said, Jesus answered and said, this voice did not come because of me, but for your sake. Continue. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. Here he was going to the cross. He was going to the cross. And he said, the time has come now for the ruler of this earth to be cast out. For the devil, ruler of this world, the devil to be cast out. Which means that the going to the cross was going to effect judgment on the devil. And he was going to be cast out. He was going to lose his position, his authority, his status. In fact, his place, even in the second heavens, you're going to lose it. So when Jesus Christ hung on the cross, he hung on the cross with a man's body. And a man's body, you could see that this is a man on the cross. And he was doing that on behalf of all mankind. So everything that came as a result of the fall of man was on Jesus on the cross. Sin, he became sin. Sickness, he said he took our sicknesses upon himself, took it to the cross. In Isaiah 53, he said, he bore our griefs and sorrows. He said, the chastisement of our peace was upon him and by his stripes. So he took sin, took sickness, and took them and hung on the cross. In fact, he took the world, that satanic government, he took it. Because that one also came as a result of the fall of man. Anything that came as a result of the fall of man, as he hung on the cross, he represented all those things. Took them to the cross. And then nailed them to the cross. Nothing could survive the cross. The only thing that survived the cross was the life of God in him. That's why the Bible says that the one who is born of God overcomes the world. Hello? In John 16, verse 8 to 11, he said something. He talked about after he had gone. And when he has come, that's the Holy Spirit, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. So he said, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will convict us of judgment because by that time, the ruler of this world would have been judged. So the death of Jesus was a judgment to Lucifer, his reign. That's, we must know and understand, to know the current status of the devil. And don't say that Satan is somewhere catching your prayers. That was in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, things have changed. That's why, okay, I'll let you know a few things about what happened. So when he died, he took back from the devil the keys of death and Hades. In Hebrews 2:14 to 15, the Bible says that inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, He, that is Jesus, himself likewise said in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had, past tense, have you seen? Who had the power of death, that is the devil, and released those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So the devil had, past tense, he had the power of death. And Jesus Christ, through death, destroyed him who had the power of death, the devil. Now, do you know who holds the key of death and Hades? Jesus. Revelation 1:18. Revelation 1:18. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. So when he died, he took the keys of Hades and of death. So now the devil doesn't have power over death when it comes to the righteous. Then also the key to Hades, which was the place of departed souls, departed spirits, that key was taken by Jesus because Satan had that key. That's why he kept all the righteous people locked down there. So God had to prepare a place of comfort for them down there. That place of comfort that was in the Old Testament was called paradise. And you realize from the story of the rich man and Lazarus that paradise and hell were in the same place but separated by a bottomless pit. Remember that story? Abraham said that those who want to cross over to this side cannot. And those who want to cross over from your side too, because there's a bottomless pit between us. They were all in the same area. Just that the righteous were in a place of comfort. And then the unbelievers were in a place of torment. But the righteous could not go to heaven in the presence of God. But when Jesus Christ died, went to that place, took the keys, and then he opened the gates of Hades. So Bible said that I will build my church and the gates of Hades shall not prevail. So he opened that gate and said, Abraham, come. David, come. Isaiah, Jeremiah, all of you, follow me, come. Took all of them. Bible says he led captivity captive. And he has set it up on high. So he took all of them from that place. Then he closed that place. So now, when the believer dies, he does not go under the earth. He goes straight to be with the Lord. Now, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah. So things have changed. We don't have to lump all of them together. Things have changed. We have to divide the scriptures and know what has changed. That is the mentality you must have as New Testament people. Things have changed. The devil is no longer the strong man that he used to be in the Old Testament. What Jesus did to Satan, he took the key. Then number two, he stripped him of all his armor. Colossians 2:14-15. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirement that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. He disarmed them. He disarmed the devil. Do you believe what the Bible says? He said, Jesus Christ disarmed the devil. To disarm means to be dispossessed of your weapon. To be stripped of your weapon. Your weapon to be taken away from you. He disarmed him. And the disarmament was not private. He said he made a public spectacle, which means that all the spirits in hell, in heaven, they all saw it. He stripped him. All the authority that Adam gave the devil, Jesus Christ stripped him of that authority. If it was like a badge, He took that badge from Satan. So now, as we speak right now, Satan has no authority. He has no right. You see, as we study this thing, you understand how he manages to get us sometimes. Because he has no right. The only thing that he does is he tricks us. Now, the devil's weapon is only one thing. Wiles, tricks, schemes. So Bible says, beware of the wiles of the enemy. In the New Testament, they don't talk about the power of Satan. Talk about the tricks, the schemes, the wiles. Because what he does is that, like he did to the first couple, that's what he does to the church. He comes to you in a subtle way, and then he gets you to turn your ammunition on yourself or on somebody else. Because he doesn't have ammunition to deal with you as a believer. So he always uses, tricks us, and uses our permission to get us to hurt ourselves. Because somebody who has been stripped of his armor, what ammunition does he have? Stripped. You see, when you read about the First World War, one of the wars, you know, one of the countries, I think it was, I've forgotten, they declared all the ammunition that they had they had taken from the nation that they conquered. Declared all the armored cars, the tanks, the weapons. They gave the numbers. It's the same thing. Jesus Christ gave them, he stripped and he took all his armor. He said, look, this is the devil. I've stripped him. Unfortunately, we have an Old Testament mentality about the devil. And so we give him too much credit and too much attention. That's why I didn't even want to talk about this subject. Because why am I talking about the devil in church? I would prefer talking about something better than the devil. But you see, I need to let you know so that you will know. So that you know what Christ has done concerning him. So that you will treat him as he is. We give him too much attention. Even in our praise and worship. Satan, Satan, Satan. Okay, now, so Jesus took back the authority. Now, Matthew 20:18, look at something there. He said, and Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. All authority. All means all. So if all authority was given to Jesus, where is Satan's authority? None. I'm not saying he doesn't have power. He has power because God did not take the power back. So he has power, all right, but he has no authority. Authority is the right to use power. That one he doesn't have. So Satan is like an armed robber with a gun. That is power. But he doesn't have the right. So the policeman can stop him because the policeman has the backing of the state. The armed robber doesn't have the backing of the state. True or false? It is only pen robbers who have the backing of the state sometimes. Pen robbers, they have the backing of the state sometimes. But armed robbers, they don't have the backing of the state. They are illegal. But pen robbers, you can have them. Some of them are politicians, you know. Some of them are civil servants. They are pen robbers. And the state backs them sometimes. Now, when Jesus died, his death drove the devil from the second heavens. Revelation 12, verse 7. He said, now, he said in John that now is the judgment of this world, and now is the prince of this world going to be cast out. That was before he died. So when he died, then the devil was cast out from where he occupied. Cast out. Revelation 12 gave us a picture. And war broke out in heaven. War broke out. It started by describing the dragon, that the dragon was the serpent who came in the Garden of Eden. Now he had become a dragon in Revelation. Then he said that his tail pulled down one third of the stars, talking about when he rebelled against God and one third of the angels followed him. But then he comes to verse 7. Then he was talking about the prophetic spiritual thing that happened when Jesus Christ died. As he hung on the cross and he was dying, and as he died, war broke out in heaven. Now, this heaven, like I said, it's not God's heaven. There can be no war in God's heaven. Who born dog? How can you? How can you instigate war in God's heaven? It's not possible. So war broke out in heaven, not God's heaven, but in the second heavens. Then Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels also fought. And they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out. You see, Jesus Christ said that now is the prince of this world cast out. He said the great dragon was cast out. That serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceived the whole world, he was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. This, you see, after Jesus died, there is nowhere Satan is called the accuser in the New Testament. After Jesus died, because his death cast him down from being an accuser. Continue to verse 11. Continue to 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and not allowed their lives to the dead. I see, you're talking about the blood of the Lamb, because at that time, the blood of the Lamb had been shed. So when his blood was shed, the devil was ejected from the second heavens. That's why now Jesus Christ, you know, now Jesus, when he died, Bible says he passed through the heavens. Hebrews 4:14. He said, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. He has passed through the heavens. Hebrews 7:26. Okay, who does not need 26. Hebrews 7:26. For such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens. So when he died, he passed through the heavens, then purified the heavens, cast out the accuser of the brethren, and purified the sanctuaries. And now he's there as a high priest. A high priest now interceding for us. You see, when the Old Testament high priest had to go to the Holy of Holies once every year, at that time, there was no high priest in the heavens, because the sanctuary had been defiled. But when Jesus Christ came and he cast out the devil, now there's a high priest in the heavenly tabernacle who is not accusing us, but he's interceding. You see, the opposite of accusation is intercession. That's why he said, now you know who accuses the believer. It is believers. Now that job, Satan has retired from that job. He has been retired. So now it is we believers who are accusing the brethren. It's serious. So do you know our status now? Christ, man, and Jesus Christ, you see, he became man, so all that he did, it was like man doing it. Man met the devil and took back the authority. That's why he had to become 100% man. So now, the chain of authority has changed again. Now it is God, then Christ, and the Christ is the church, man. So it is God, Christ, before creation. God, Christ, the church, angels, creation. So now, the angelic order has been placed under the order of man. And if you are born again, you are directly under God because you are in Christ. And the devil is under you. Do you know who Christ is? Colossians 2:10. And you are complete in him, in Christ, who is the head of all principality and power. Now Jesus is the head of all principality and power. And you are in Christ. He said you are complete in him. He is now the head of all principality and power. So the devil and the believer, they are not on the same level. Ephesians 1:20. Which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Continue. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. So Christ is far above, which means that the believer is far above because the believer is in Christ. In fact, when the Bible talks about Christ, talking about Jesus and the church. So the believer is far above all principality and power and might. Far above. See, that is the spiritual warfare mentality that we should have. Now, a new government has been voted into office by the last Adam. The first Adam voted the government of Satan into office. So the world that was controlling the earth was dark, was evil. But the second Adam, by choosing God's will, has also voted another government, God's government, into office. But you see, the lease God gave Adam has not expired yet. So it's like the election has been conducted. The candidate has won. But then we are just waiting for the official swearing in, where now God is going to banish Satan from this earth forever. Now, Satan has been defeated, his throne taken away, his crown taken away. But God is a just God, so the lease he gave Adam has not expired. So he's just waiting for the lease to expire so that he will just cast him out. That will be his fifth judgment. He will just cast him in the lake of fire. Then his end will just come. Then we are going to now take over the new heaven and the new earth. So, till then, what are we to do? Till then, we are supposed to enforce the victory of Christ. We are supposed to enforce the victory of Christ. We are supposed to promote the kingdom by using our authority to cast the devil out of people, out of places, and liberate people from bondage. That is the task of the church now. Everything has been done by Jesus. Satan has been destroyed. The word destroy in Hebrews 2:14 means he had been weakened eternally, rendered impotent. That's the word destroy. Not destroy as in he's no more. No, but he has been rendered impotent. He had been rendered useless and powerless. So Hebrews 10:13 says what? For the time waiting, okay, from verse 12, talk about Jesus Christ accomplished the task. Go to verse 12. Then he sat down by once, sat down forever, you know. But this man, that's Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. From that time, waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. So, on one side, he has done everything. On another side, he has given the authority to the church to make sure that we enforce his victory. That's why in the Old Testament, they weren't allowed to deal with Satan. There was no casting of demons in the Old Testament. But the New Testament said, you shall cast out devils. Anytime demons are cast out, it's a sign that a territory has been repossessed. Because now, demons are trespassers and squatters. I'll talk about demons. And they must be cast out. They are trespassers. They must be cast out. They don't have any right to live in anybody. So they must be cast out. Anytime demons are cast out, the kingdom is expanded because another territory has been repossessed. That's why in the Old Testament, they were to kill witches. But in the New Testament, we are to cast out demons. Not to kill the witches, but to cast the demons out. So in the New Testament, Jesus Christ cast out seven spirits from Mary Magdalene. Seven spirits. And later she was serving Jesus and the disciples. If that were Old Testament, they would stone her to death. Because in the Old Testament, they didn't have the power to deal with these things. The only way was to get rid of them. That was the only way to get rid of them physically. So to kill, but in the New Testament, we have power to deal with the devil. God has given the church, has given us the right. Because now, listen, when you kill a snake and you crush the head, what is left? A rope. What is left? The most dangerous part of a snake is the head. True of us. Apart from the head, the snake is not dangerous. He's not powerful. So when you crush the head, then it means that the work has been done. All that we have been asked to do is to make sure that the body that is wriggling, it stops. That's what we are dealing with. We are not dealing with the head. In Genesis 3:15, Bible said that Jesus will crush the head of the serpent. The head. So he will crush the head. He will bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. So he will crush the head and he has crushed his head. So what we have got to deal with is not the head of the devil, it's the body, the body. So it is head to head. Christ as our head, he crushed his head. Then we as his body, we are being asked to keep his body in check, because even though the head is crushed, the body is still wriggling. So just keep the body in check. That's why we must grow in our understanding of these things as believers, And know that the devil is not as, is no longer the strong man that they pictured him in the Old Testament. We have to do that. That is our task now. In the New Testament, the believer is only told to resist the devil. The New Testament writers, they never spent so much time on the devil. Never. They didn't spend so much time. So most of the teachings on Satan and how powerful he is and all that, we pick them from the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, they never spent time on the devil. They treat him as Jesus Christ had rendered him. So, in Ephesians 4:27, he says, don't give place to the devil. Do not give him place. I mean, it's like a child, somebody telling you that, don't let a child come in. If he tells you, don't give him access, it means that you have more strength than the person. Are you getting me? Oh, you can't tell. It's a child that you can say, oh, don't let a child come in. So you stand there, you lock the door. No child is coming in. If it's an adult, he can just push his way through. But I said, don't give him place. 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Continue. Resist him. Steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Resist him. So that he said, resist. Resist him. It is who must resist him. In the Old Testament, they dare not, they could not resist the devil. In the Old Testament, God shielded them from the devil. He didn't allow them to meet the devil directly. By the New Testament, because of what he has done concerning the devil, he says, you resist him. See, when it comes, resist him. Stop him. James 4:7. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. There is nowhere in the Bible after Jesus died that the Bible says the believer should pray that God should bind the devil or God should do something about the devil. There's nowhere. Now, God has put the responsibility on the believer. He said, look, I finished him. Just make sure he doesn't move. I finished him. So you resist him. That is authority. You resist him. It is our duty to hold him in check. Make sure that he's at the same place where Jesus left him. See, Satan knows his status. But the sad thing is that most of us believers, we don't know the devil's status. So, he comes to us like he used to be. It's like Samson. When his head was shaved, his strength was gone. So, you see, that's the same picture the devil is now. His hair has been shaved. You have shaved your hair. His hair has been shaved. His strength is gone. But look at what Samson did. He said, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. He said, I will go out one more time and shake myself like I used to do. Bible says, but he did not know that God had left him. So Satan comes to us. He said, I will go. I will just go and shake myself like I used to do in the Old Testament. Because this guy, they don't know. So when I go and I just roar, like a lion, I will roar. When I roar, these guys, they don't know my status. So our roar. And most of the time, we see the threatenings of the devil, the roarings of the devil, and then we forget about his status, that he's no longer as he used to be in the Old Testament. So when he roars like that, then we are gripped with fear. Then in fear, we start talking nonsense, you know, just speaking things that are not sensible. And we start giving him, we start opening the door for him. That's why I always say that. Even if you are afraid, never say it. Even if you are afraid, never let it come out of your mouth. When the devil comes to you and he gives you a picture, he paints a picture, maybe a dream or a something, then he starts talking to you. See, this is how you're going to end. You see, this is how you're going to end. You will fail. You will fail. You will fail. You can't make it. You can't make it. I will even kill you before you get to 30 years. I will make sure I finish you. I'll kill you. Now, if you don't know him, you will start, I mean, you will go for, anointing oil. Because somebody will tell that this oil, you only need to apply it, the sign of the cross, and that's all. They will stop worrying you. Or just put it under your pillow. Because you don't know. But if you know, you say, hey, I know you. You see, at first I didn't know, but now I know. You have been unmasked. You have been disarmed. I don't fear you. All that you are doing, you are just blowing hot air. You are just bragging. You are just roaring. I know you're raw. You can't touch me. Because you see, in the New Testament, the believer has the responsibility of making sure Satan doesn't touch him. Not God. That's why we need to know this. Come to 1 John 5:18. 1 John 5:18. We know that whoever is born of God does not sin. But he who has been born of God keeps himself. And the wicked one does not touch him. He keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. So it is our duty to know his tricks. I'm going to talk about the stronghold of the devil. You know that the stronghold of the devil is just tricks. The devil can, you see, let me use an example. You see, when you say stronghold, Satan can hold just a little bit of your mind like this. Okay, so we try to move. You see? You see? I've not held his whole body like this. I've just held his belt. You see? So, yeah. So, the devil's stronghold, sometimes it is just an idea that he's controlling you with. It becomes a stronghold. Just one idea. He can just speak something into your mind. Then he will give you many references to strengthen his point. Yes. So he will come to you and tell that, look, you think you can, where do you think you are going? Then you set an example. Look at your uncle. Look at that other person. You say, look at this woman. Look at this man. See, you think you can do ministry. Look at so and so. Look at so and so. You see, we finished him even before he started. Then you're also there. Then you are afraid. You are afraid that you have a lot of references. See, that's why you don't need a lot of references. The only reference you need is the Word of God. Stay in it. Somebody has sat down to design a movie. A movie. The person has sat down to write a script. And they are acting out the script. And the script says that somebody was pregnant and witches came and took her child from her womb. Why are you applying it to yourself? Are you getting me? Why are you applying it to yourself? There are many other people too that witches could not take their children from their womb. Why don't you get the correct picture? I mean, the right pictures. You see, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. Fear too comes by hearing and hearing from the world. Fear. The more you hear stuff from the world, and the more you believe them, the more the devil gives you more references. Then he reinforces what he has already said and put in your mind. Then it becomes a stronghold. Now it's controlling you. Now when we tell you the truth, you don't even believe it. You see, there's one stronghold that the enemy has been using to battle believers. I mean, the strongholds are not like, it's a mind game, not power. It's a mind game. Satan can sow a seed of condemnation in you. It can control you all the day. It can even prevent you from receiving from God. It's a stronghold. It becomes a stronghold. So it gets to a point you can't even approach God. That's why I say, come boldly. Say, come boldly. But you see the devil, that stronghold, and he will always be giving you references. There are some people with a stronghold of rejection that he's using. The devil uses many tricks. So you are rejected. Then he comes to tell you that you are no good. You are worthless. Then because you are thinking like that, people too reject you. The least thing, you will detect rejection. You see, so there are some people, the least thing anybody does, they misinterpret, misconstrue. It's a stronghold. It can control you. You will see a believer. The devil shouldn't have power over him, but because of the stronghold, he's being controlled. It affects your relationships with people. It affects your output. It affects what you can do for God. Because you always think that, oh, somebody is out to outsmart me, to outwit me, or to reject me. It's a stronghold. That is how he has been controlling us. And we need to understand, and we need to know how he comes. If you know how the devil comes, you will always be a step or two ahead of him. Because sometimes when he comes, you see, when he comes to you, for instance, he speaks in the first person. So you think that you are talking to yourself. He speaks in the first person. He comes with, I can't do it. You know, I'm weak. I'm weak. I'm weak in this. I know myself. I can't. I'm nothing. I'm nothing. I'm like a grasshopper. I am like a grasshopper before them. That is the devil speaking to you. But you may think that, oh, you are talking to yourself. It's the devil. So he comes undercover, and we need to uncover him. Because now, in the New Testament, it's no longer a power encounter. It's a truth encounter. The believer and the devil, it's not a power encounter anymore. It's a truth encounter. You only need to know the truth, and the truth will make you a free person. When he said that, he said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make, not set, shall make you free. Prayer can set you free, but the truth shall make you free, shall make you a free person. You become a free person. Know the tricks of the devil. When I start talking about his strategies, surprise you, Satan has not changed. The same way that he engaged people in the Bible, even in the Old Testament, the same tricks, his strategies, they are just some few things that he has always been doing. Look at Goliath, going to fight Israel, trying to set the rules of the battle. Goliath is going to fight them. Then he is rather setting the rule that we shouldn't fight, like we shouldn't come against each other. Just pick one man, let him come and fight me. When that one man is able to overpower me, then all of us will be your slaves. Why should they allow somebody to set the rules? I mean, it's amazing. He was setting the rules. And they were following the rules that he was setting. So, are you going to follow what God has said? Or the rule the devil has set for you? Maybe in your family. Maybe in your tribe or race. Maybe in your particular category that you fall into. Some rules that have been set. You must reset the rules. You must play the game according to your rules. Now, I'm ending. Lucifer's fifth and final judgment. That one is still pending. Revelation chapter 20, verse 1 to 3. Then we'll read verse 7. This one is pending. You know, it was a vision John saw, but it's yet to come. He said, "Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. You see, now the lease God gave man at this point would have expired. So they will catch him. They will just catch him like that. An angel, just one angel, laid hold on him like that. And then he bound him. He's somebody that Michael could not even say, "I rebuke you." Because that was in the Old Testament, you know. But here, the angel laid hands on him and bound him for a period of 1,000 years. Continue. And he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him so that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he will be released for a little while. Now, you know, so when the lease expired, God is going to establish his kingdom on this earth. That's Jesus' 1,000-year reign. That is when we are going to reign, literally, on this earth with him, 1,000 years. For that 1,000 years, Satan will be bound and cast into the bottomless pit. Then they will set a seal on him, so he can't come to the earth anymore for the period of 1,000 years. So the 1,000 years will be years of prosperity and peace. Years of prosperity and peace, where God will restore this earth back to paradise and believers will reign with him. All these verses, they are literal. It says, "We shall reign with him on the earth." Romans 5:17 and other verses said, "We shall reign with him." And Romans 8:17, "We shall reign with him for a period of 1,000 years. That's when we will know. That's when we will know that we are truly, truly royalty. But after the period of 1,000 years, continue from verse 7, Revelation 20, verse 7. "Now when the 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison." See? Continue. Wow, have you expired? "And will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle of Magadon." Okay. "Whose number is as the sand of the sea." Look at what happened. "They went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city, Jerusalem." You know, "And fire came down from heaven, from God, out of heaven, and devoured them. The devil who deceived them was cast into a lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophets are. And they'll be tormented night, day and night, forever and ever." Let's full stop there. And that full stop means that the devil, he said, okay, continue, 11. "Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled, and there was found no place for them." So the devil will finally be cast into lake of fire. And that is his fifth and final judgment. That's the only one that he's waiting for now. And he knows it's coming. You see, God has not touched him because God is a just God. And God will not violate his word. And when he said, I've given Adam this lease, he will make sure that the lease expires. But at the end of the day, the devil is going to be cast in the lake of fire. And that will be his end. Because the lake of fire was prepared for the devil. As soon as he rebelled, God did it. In Matthew 25, 41, the Bible said that the lake of fire was prepared for the devil and his angels. As soon as they rebelled, then God prepared the lake of fire for them. He said, then he will say to those who are on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed. You see, the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Hallelujah. So, this is Satan's, Lucifer's five judgments. He has been judged on the cross, but the final one will come when he's cast into the lake of fire. Now, at that point, you see, then God would have delivered us. You see, now God has saved us from the penalty of sin. Then we are being saved from the power of sin. But at that point, when Lucifer is no more, then we shall be saved from the presence of sin. Now the new heaven, new earth, there will be no sin, no devil, no curse. Everything will be restored back to the original. You see, if you want to know the summary of the Bible, read Genesis chapter 1, chapter 2, then jump to Revelation chapter 20, 21. The 21, 22. You will get the summary of God's original intent. That Genesis 1 and 2 was what God did. It started, but it was interrupted in chapter 3 when the serpent entered. But through chapter 3 to Revelation 20, everything was restoration. And the story ended in Revelation 20 when Lucifer was cast down the lake of fire. Then also, then verse 21, when the bride, the holy city, descended from heaven, you know, then the marriage supper of the Lamb began. So the Bible begins with a couple in the garden and ends with a wedding. See, the wedding, the marriage supper of the Lamb. God is trying to just tell us a story. It's a beautiful story that God is telling us. Yeah, so all of us, we are being worked into the story. But at the end of the day, they will understand and see God's wisdom. Let's be on our feet. Let's pray. I trust that from today, you will place the devil where he belongs. See, a lot of times, believers are motivated by fear, even in our prayers, by fear. See, we get up at midnight. You see, midnight, don't use your midnight prayers to pray. Use your midnight prayers for intercession and worship, you know, for worship and intercession and for setting people free. You know, and for taking territories and taking mantles. Don't use your midnight prayers for binding witches and wizards. It's a waste of time. I mean, when the devil shows up, you see, in your life, you speak to him, bind him, you know, cast him out, resist him. When he comes with a dream, you cancel it. So I cancel this dream. I rebel against the counsel of hell. It will not stand. It will not prevail. I am not a candidate. You cannot just come into my life and tear with my life. You can't. I stop you. I'm going to teach you warfare words. I resist. I revoke. I disengage. I stop. Those are the words that you use in those words. When the devil shows up, don't waste time. You know, sometimes even when we are praying, it's what I'm going to say right now. Let's pray. What was the name? Ziba. Ziba must die. Atalia must die. Atalia must. You see, people are praying. Pray. They are afraid of Atalia. I heard there was a church that was praying and they were singing, Meteor Boom Samsu, Meteor Boom Samsu. Then there was slice of, come and see, scatter. Because somebody went and held the pastor's trunk like this. Hey, jambu, jambu. We are singing with your bones, but we are singing in fear. God wants us to be liberated. Do not, you see, listen, even if you can't come and try and get all this series, even if you miss the subsequent meetings, try and get all the series. I'm going to make sure that by the time I finish, you will not have the slightest fear for the devil. Because we need more time for better things. There are territories to be taken. There are people who should be liberated. The destinies of our families and of ourselves, we have to pray about this. We don't have to spend time binding demons and binding witches and all that. Let's pray that God will give us the insight and the grace to always remember the current status of the devil. In the name of Jesus. The current status of the devil, that he has been destroyed. He has been disarmed. He has been overpowered. He has been rendered impotent. Rendered useless. He has no power against us. He has no authority. All authority has been given to Jesus and to the church. We have a right to stop him. By the word of our mouth, we can stop him. We can keep ourselves, and he will not touch us. We must resist him. Ibrahato loboko shatalaba. Manderebeko zilia talaba. Kobaha derebeko sikahata. Give us grace to understand. Grace to always remember our position with Christ. We have been seated with him far above all principality and power and rule. We have been seated. We are not now fighting to conquer him. We only have to enforce the victory of Christ. Spiritual warfare is fought from the point of victory, from the point of the throne, from the point of being seated with Christ, not from the point of engaging the devil and trying to defeat him. You can't defeat a defeated foe. He's already defeated. You only have to hold him in check, crush his works when he shows up. Let him know what you know about him. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Give us grace. We are praying the last prayer. We are praying for this nation. We are praying that the hand of God will continue to rest on Ghana. That every agenda of God for this nation will be established. That prosperity will come to Ghana. That Ghana will enter into her glorious destiny. That revival will come to Ghana. See, just as we wish the peace of Israel and the prosperity of Israel, we are also praying for Ghana, that Ghana will enter into prosperity. Because God has said many good things concerning Ghana. Then we are praying for the leaders of this nation, the president and his helpers. The destiny of this nation is not in the hands of politicians. It's in the hands of the church. We must pray. And we are praying that God will give them ideas. That whatever good idea that will help this nation go forward, God will breathe on those ideas. Whatever selfish, evil agenda that they have or they will have, let those evil agenda and evil thoughts, let those thoughts perish. Let's pray. In the name of Jesus, we declare Ghana is blessed. In the name of Jesus, Ghana is a gateway for Africa. Ghana is a shining example of prosperity in Africa. In the name of Jesus, every word of God concerning Ghana will come to pass. We declare revival will come to Ghana. In the name of Jesus, the church will rule one more time. Our words and our prayers will control things one more time. In the name of Jesus, that our words will steer the affairs of this nation. Ghana will enjoy peace at its borders. In the name of Jesus, we pray for wisdom. We pray for wisdom for our president. Pray for health. We pray for good counselors. We eliminate Ahithophel, and we send him Josephs and good counselors who can offer him godly advice. In the name of Jesus, we pray for strength. We pray that God's plan will be established in this nation. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise. Father, we thank you. Thank you for what you have revealed to us from your word. Thank you, God, for letting us know what has happened and the current status of the enemy. We pray that you continue to grant us grace, never to forget these things, but to continually grow in knowledge and grace, that we will live our lives victoriously as you even purpose for us, that we will sit with you in heavenly places, far above all rule and principality. We thank you, we bless you, in Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. You may take your seat.